So the day to apply for admission at OU to set up the case came, and Dr. George Cross was president. Can you tell us?
Well, what she told me was that after Dr. Bullock left the house, he said he'd be back in touch. Over the next few months, she made several trips back and forth to Oklahoma City, talking with Roscoe Dungy about the plans. And so when the day came, it was in the second semester of enrollment, it was she, Dr. Bullock, and Roscoe Dungy that made the trip to Norman to apply. That's when they went down and made their initial application to the university. She talked about how Roscoe preferred driving in the middle of the road, and she was never comfortable with his driving skills. But what's interesting is you're talking about an all-white town. At that time, Norman was a sundown town.
Tell us what that meant.
That meant that unless you were staying with a white family as a servant, all African Americans had to be out of town by sundown. No African Americans could live within the city limits of Norman, Oklahoma. So, in a nutshell, it had the reputation of being a very racist town, not welcome to black folks. In fact, in the earlier years, it had expulsions because there were black people living in Norman, and they were expelled from Norman. What that means is they were told that they had to leave, and the homes were destroyed, and people were threatened, and so the few blacks that ever tried to move into Norman in the 20s and 30s were expelled from Norman. So by the late 40s, when my mom was enrolling at OU, it was well established that Norman was a sundown town and the blacks were not welcome. But they went to make the admission application. You know, it's hard to imagine what kind of courage that it took. Here you've got probably two of the most courageous African-American men in the state of Oklahoma. You know, Roscoe had an incredible amount of courage. He was involved in many, many civil rights cases. He took many cases to the Supreme Court. And W.J. Bullock, my mom, she was riding with some of the most courageous men in Oklahoma history. I used to ask her, were you afraid? She says, you can't be around these kind of people and be afraid. They just give you too much strength.
Then Dr. Cross, who I got to believe wanted her to be admitted and understood their story, rejected her based on the Oklahoma statutes prohibiting black students from attending state schools of Oklahoma. He knew he was setting it up.
It was no secret that my mom and Dr. Bullock and Roscoe walked in the door. Roscoe had already called ahead to tell them that he was coming. He was such a brilliant, brilliant, and courageous guy. He had already called Dr. Cross, and they knew that she was coming. They knew this would happen. Well, the state regents knew that it was going to happen. The state regents of higher education had already took a position that they knew the NAACP was going to challenge segregation in higher education. They knew that. So they had already told George Cross to be prepared for it, and George had already prepared the letter. Now, what most people don't know is this. George Cross, when he was in college in Wyoming, had a black roommate. So he was not in agreement with the segregation laws of Oklahoma in the first place. He knew this was outrageous. So he, I think, secretly, what we know about looking at his work since then, he was secretly hoping she made it.
Right. So we do have Thurgood Marshall, who, by the way, obviously became Associate Supreme Court Justice. But he, at the time, was the nation's foremost civil rights attorney. I've been calling her Ada, but should I call her Lois, your mother? Talk to Marshall and to Amos T. Hall, who was from Tulsa. Tell us about that story and that relationship.
You know, Mom talked about Amos T. Hall almost as much as she talked about Thurgood. Amos T. Hall is one of the unsung heroes of the civil rights movement in Oklahoma. But he was a resident attorney that was chosen, and he was out of Tulsa. I wonder about that because in Oklahoma City, you had J.J. Bruce, Bruce and Rowan's law firm, the two most prominent African-American lawyers in Oklahoma City. But yet Amos T. Hall was the guy who was chosen by Thurgood or Roscoe or both to be the resident attorney on the case. He was the guy that was doing most of the work on the ground here in Oklahoma. My mom talked about him a lot.
So, obviously, when she was rejected, newspapers and radio would publish that story.
After the initial visit with Roscoe, W.J. Bullock, and my mom, and they had the rejection letter from George Cross, they were waiting on Thurgood Marshall to come down to tell him what to do next. And because of a number of things that were happening around the country, and Thurgood got sick and a number of other things, several months had transpired and nothing had happened. That's when Roscoe got impatient with the delays, and he sent a letter to Thurgood saying that he needs to hurry up and get down here and let's get this thing filed because this lady is kind of neurotic, and we want to get this thing done before the same thing happens to her that happened to Gaines in Missouri. What happened to Gaines in Missouri was there was a Supreme Court ruling in his favor saying that he had a right to attend the university in Missouri, but before he could even do it, he disappeared.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about a state in which my mom saw the last lynching occur. There was no certainty that she was safe, none whatsoever. In fact, things got eventually so bad that Roscoe told her to quit riding public transportation, and they had to drive her every place that she went. So it was Amos T. Hall that escorted her down to file the papers in the district court in Norman to get the ball rolling.
Well, just follow up on Lloyd Gaines. His whereabouts remain unknown to this day. They never did find him.
That's right.
So there was fear for your mother.
Absolutely.
On the very same thing. It would take money to fund this legal battle. So they actually went out and solicited funds.
Part of the strategy was knowing that my grandfather was the bishop of the Church of God in Christ. If he could get the churches involved, there would be a source of funds to help finance the case, and it worked. My grandfather immediately began to solicit support from his church and through his congregations and allowed Roscoe to utilize the church as a source of helping to get the word out. And once he did it in his church, then other ministers and other denominations welcomed the idea too. So they went from church to church, meeting to meeting, raising money for the campaign. That's when my grandfather suffered that massive heart attack in the summer of 1945 and subsequently died. That's when everything could have been derailed completely.
But he also gave a substantial amount to this fund, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we were talking about lynch mobs. Even Thurgood Marshall ran from a lynching.